Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached August 6, 2023 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text for the day was Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Let's listen in. Jesus teaches us today to turn concern into compassion, to turn thought into action. Jesus was out in a boat all by himself. He was there to think and to pray and to mourn. John the Baptist, of which no greater man had ever been born, had been beheaded. Much had led to this horrid end. Persecution had placed John in jail for speaking the truth to a powerful king. Herod had made a hasty oath because of his pleasure at the sight of his stepdaughter dancing. The vengeful wrath of Herod's adulteress Herodias demanded such violence. Jesus, upon hearing about all of this, had went in a boat to a desolate place to think and to pray and to mourn about all of this. But in those days, you see, Jesus was so well known that his every movement was traced. The watchful eyes of the people upon the famous rabbi were much better trackers than even modern GPS. And so, in one way, his chosen isolation was interrupted, and not by one person or even a small group, but quickly by a crowd of thousands. His concern turned into compassion. His tender thoughts towards them turned into action. He left behind his own care to care for them. He went ashore. He healed their sick. No doubt he taught about the kingdom. But by the end of the day, there arose a need much more common than the cure for those diseases he had been healing. The people had been there all day and they needed food. The disciples showed concern, understanding the crowd's need and the apparent lack of any food out there in that desolate place. The disciples thought of what could be done and decided that the best idea was to send them to the nearest villages where they could have their needs met. You understand the thought process, right? You see a need and you think you understand how that need can be met. You direct the people elsewhere to have those needs met. After all, you do not think that you could meet those needs yourself. Jane, the young mother, is truly distraught, and you understand in general why, and so you direct her to a local psychologist. Jim is clearly hungry. The energy is absent from his face. He tells you a part of his story, and so you direct him to the food bank in town. John has lost his job, and Tammy, his wife, is terrified. You know about the current state of the economy, and so you tell him where to go to the government office and apply for help. That's essentially what the disciples did on this day, and there's nothing terribly wrong with what they did. It showed concern and it showed thoughtfulness. And when you do such things as the things we have talked about, you too are doing the same. You're not ignoring these people and their needs. You're just sending them where it seems most likely in the moment they can get the help they need. If there is a deficiency in those moments, both for the disciples and for us, it is that we are too confident that we do not have what is needed to help them ourselves, especially when we consider that we are not alone, especially when we realize that Jesus is standing right beside us, so to speak. On that day, Jesus turned the disciples' concern into deeper compassion. "They need not go away," he said. "Why make those hungry people journey into the villages when their stomachs are already growling?" He turned their thoughtfulness into action. "You give them something to eat," he said. "Forget the villages feeding the thousands. You disciples do it." The disciples were taken back. After all they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. How could they feed these masses? But they were wrong. That's not all they had. Oh, it was not that they had forgotten about more fish or a storehouse of bread. They had forgotten that Jesus was there. They had him. They had 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 1 Jesus. "Bring them to me," Jesus said. And you know the rest of the story. Every man, woman, and child fed, and 12 baskets of leftovers gathered up. Just as God, through Moses in the wilderness, had fed the Israelites of old in a place where doing so seemed impossible after they left Egypt, so God in the flesh, Jesus, did the same again with these people. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 1 Jesus fed them all. What if that young, distraught mother, Jane, had been invited into your home? Even though you did not know what you had to offer her other than a listening ear. Perhaps you would have learned that Jane was but one of many overwhelmed mothers, and so your church decided to offer a mom's night out to give those ladies a chance to breathe and to talk and to reflect upon life and God. Your ear and Jesus might have sent them all away satisfied. What if you had taken that hungry man Jim into your home, knowing that all you were going to do was cook up a few basic burgers with a side of green beans from a can? Maybe you would have learned from Jim that he was part of a whole group of people who had immigrated legally into the country and now the community, and that were struggling to find good work because they simply did not know much English. Maybe a group of believers in your town could have joined together to find a teacher who would teach them to speak English as a second language to their own. Your ground beef and canned beans and Jesus might have sent them all away satisfied. What if you had invited John and Tammy to join you for church, even though you weren't really sure what you could offer them there that would alleviate what they thought was their most important need? Maybe John, after church at a fellowship gathering, would have talked to a member of the congregation that was mourning out loud that he just couldn't find any good help anywhere. Maybe Tammy would have smiled in wonder at what God was working right there over cookies and coffee. Your invitation, cookies and coffee, and Jesus might have sent them away satisfied. Oh, it's not that there is never a time to use resources that already exist. It is just that we can never forget that if we turn our concern into compassion and truly get involved with those in need, God might just well turn our thoughts into actions that we could have never imagined. It is just that we should never think that we are unable to help just because we don't see how in the moment we have the things that are needed to help. It is just that we must never forget that when our small resources are given to Jesus, he can do miraculous things. Yes, he will often hand those things back to us multiplied and tell us then to give it out to the people in need, and they will be sent away satisfied. And when that happens, you simply get to watch Jesus do his thing, and you get to speak to the people the word that God had given to the prophet Isaiah many years ago, which is recorded in our Bibles in Isaiah chapter 55. You get to say to them, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food." Yes, and then God will satisfy them, and he'll leave them singing the refrain from the Psalms, "His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever." Let me ask you, have you forgotten what your God can do? Have you underestimated what can happen if you just offer what you have? Have you forgotten that Jesus is right by your side to help you meet the needs you see? Has your concern not grown into compassion and your thoughts been void of the possibility of personal action? Well, if so, bring those things to Jesus today. He will see your need of forgiveness. And he will look up to heaven and say a prayer. He will remind the Father that he died for just such lack of faith and understanding. And then he will fill you up with his grace, his mercy, and his Spirit. He will make his resurrection life your own possession. And then you too will go away from there satisfied, singing that great refrain, "His steadfast love endures forever. Amen."